For our gospel reading on Christmas morning, we'll read from John 1, verses 1 through 18. Let's join in a prayer of illumination. Gracious God, we thank you so much that we can adore you. We thank you so much that you are far more worthy of our worship than we can possibly express or even imagine. And we thank you that we can love you by listening to your word. And so we pray for the illumination of your Holy Spirit. Lord, apart from Christ, we can do nothing. With Christ, we can do all that you call us to do. So we ask for your Spirit to illumine us, to unite us. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. John 1, verses 1 through 18, a prologue that sums up the whole gospel. I'll adapt just a couple words as we go through. Hear God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of humankind. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Friends in Christ, we can worship in joy this morning because when the Word became flesh, the universe was reborn. When the Word became flesh, a whole new creation began. And to give you just one glimpse of that new creation coming into our world as it still is in many ways, I'm going to pass on an experience of Christmas worship that a writer named John Shea gives to us. John Shea says that one Christmas he listened and watched as a five-year-old child shared the gospel with her household. The girl's name was Sharon, and she shared what it means for the Word to become flesh. For young Sharon, that sharing came first in the form of a pronouncement that she made, and then she had a question that led to a celebration. So She was preaching to her own household in her own words, and Sharon told the story of Jesus' birth. Now, when she got to the climactic point of the story, she said, "Then the baby was born, and then she turned into a little bit of a whisper to ask the question, 'And do you know who that baby was?' And then she whispered her own answer. She said, 'The baby was God.' And then she jumped into the air. She leapt around for a while. She twirled around 3 times. Then she dove into the couch to cover herself with pillows because she could not contain her joy that God, the Son, Jesus Christ, had become every bit as human as you and me to give us the joy of a new creation. And John Shea says, "She showed me, Sharon showed me what the gospel means, and I will confess that I can't quite match what Sharon did, but we can at least spend a little bit of time reviewing the gospel as preached in John 1. And as we do that, we can begin with the words, 'In the beginning.' According to the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word became flesh in the person whom we know as Christ Jesus. And according to John, all things, therefore, were created by Christ. Nothing that has been made was made apart from Christ. And that means, as we celebrate today, it all comes from Christ. Any good gift you receive today, any good experience you have any day, any creational good that comes to you at any time or into eternity, it is all from Christ Jesus. And that is the reality that is breaking into our world. That is the light that is shining in the darkness that is all too real. And so both to bask in the light and to recognize the darkness, I'm going to pass on another story from childhood that helps us appreciate the Word becoming flesh. Now, this story from childhood comes from a colleague of mine named Jack Rhoda. And he writes that one summer day when he was 8 years old and still living in Friesland, where he was born, he and a friend named Meindert decided to go fishing. So here are these young boys walking in the sunshine through a field carrying bamboo poles. The goodness that the Word created is all around them, and then they see yet another instance of it, because right by one of the streams that flowed through the field, they spotted a mallard duck. This was a mother bird sitting on a nest, and one of the boys said, "I wonder how many eggs she has in that nest." So the boys decide to find out. They walk toward the nest, thought this would be simple. They just started to make some noises to shoo the mother away. But instead of the mother bird doing what they wanted, she hissed at them. And she ran at them in attack mode. So the boys raised their poles to, this time they'd scare her. She just raised her wings and got even more fierce. And finally, by swinging their poles, by yelling as boys can yell, Jack and Meindert were able to get to the nest. And they saw about a dozen eggs, and they were bending down to inspect them, when the mother bird came again, swooping in, dive bombing, getting way too close. So the boys thought, it's time for us to show who's the boss here. And they started to pick up the eggs out of the nest and throw them at the mother. They threw all 12 eggs, and only when they had thrown the last one did the mother bird fly away, and so all was quiet. It was quiet until Jack and Mindert looked around, and they saw that the eggs that they had just shown had just about been ready to hatch. So now on the ground they saw 12 hatchlings dead, 12 little birds killed. And Jack Rhoda says that was the first time he remembers knowing there was darkness inside him. He was capable of doing evil, and it was right in front of him. That conviction stayed with him so strongly that when he would hear news reports years later, it would remind him of his childhood. He heard a story of Nigeria about the death of an entire village, and as the reporter described bodies strewn around, he wasn't surprised to hear that. He said, "When it comes to evil, I can feel sorry, I can feel baffled and angered, but not surprised." And that knowledge of the darkness around us, the darkness inside us, that deepened his understanding of why the Word became flesh. And what it brings out is the sad truth that when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that meant Jesus moved into a dangerous neighborhood where people live. Because we are not safe. We need to be saved. Urgently, we need to be saved from the sin around us, from the sin in us. And the gospel truth is that's yet another reason that Jesus came. Jesus became one of us, not to condemn us, though he certainly could, but he came so that we could be saved through him. And that means when we look honestly at human history, including our own lives, we can certainly see sin clouding our minds so that it descends on us like a kind of a madness or an illness. We can feel sin as like a power that can make our hearts hard as stone. And yet the Word becomes flesh to give us hearts of flesh. The only begotten Son of God dwells among us, not only as an innocent infant, that is such good news, and not only as a perfect human being, which is grace upon grace, Jesus comes among us as a friend of sinners and a friend who loves his friends so much that he will lay down his life for them, for you and me, to give us new life, to lead us into the new creation, where there's no more crying or tears, but just the light of God beaming, reflecting in and among us all. So that's why Jesus became flesh. And to help that just sink in a little bit more, we can spend a little bit more time with a gospel story that I think gives us an image to take home with us. This story comes in John 9. You may know it, that Jesus is walking along. He walks by a man who was born blind. And his disciples are thinking in the categories in which they grew up, so they say, "Well, Rabbi, teacher, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind?" And Jesus answers knowing what's inside every human being. Jesus answers knowing that he will be crucified. Jesus knows the darkness. But here Jesus speaks as the light of the world, and he says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Instead, he was born so that the work of God could be revealed in him." And then Jesus teaches a little more, and then he does something I think is so interesting. He spits. Jesus spits enough that he can make a handful of mud, and then he rubs the mud onto the man's eyes so that he can wash it away and receive sight. Now, like I say, I think that's a picture we can take home. I think that's a story that we can put ourselves into. Jesus heals with mud. Jesus knows the dirt all around. Jesus works with saliva to make mud. And through that muddy kind of stuff, he can give us new vision and a whole new life. Now, if you ask, well, what do we do with that? In the gospel story, all the man born blind needed to do was follow Jesus' simplest teachings. Goes to a pool called Siloam, washes off the mud, comes back able to see. And as he puts it later in the story, he says, well, there's one thing I know, he says. Because of Jesus, he doesn't know his name at that time, because of this man, there's one thing I know. I was blind, but now I can see. And the gospel writer John tells that story so that we would believe it, enter into it, and have that kind of life in Jesus' name. So we can put ourselves in the story. And we can say, we can ask, what's the stuff I was born with? Now, maybe we weren't born blind, but Jesus comes as a wonderful counselor, and with that story, he can have us ask, why was I born with the stuff I was born with? There's good stuff. There's the bad stuff. Do I blame my parents? Do I blame myself for what I did with it? On Christmas, Jesus says, well, let's put your story in a new story, a bigger story. Jesus says, I'm the creator. And I was born so that I could show you God's glory, and it's full of grace and truth. Jesus says, I was born to give you grace upon grace, and that's why I come to you now, born a long time ago, but I come to you right now, Jesus says, so that you can really know the one true God. And what's that one true God like? Well, he's a God of life and light and sacrificial love to raise you up into the life of God. And Jesus says, well, now to get to your story, you were born so that the work of that God could be revealed in your life. You were born so that the triune God could come way down and lift you up into his goodness, into his grace, and into his glory. Because ultimately, that's what it's all about. There's a lot of stuff going on now, but where it's going to is goodness, grace, and glory. So, just, again, put yourself further in the story. Know that Jesus knows all your stuff, and he reaches right into the mud to give you new eyes, a new heart of flesh, good flesh, loving flesh. Gives you new birth into a whole new creation. And that is the story that will keep going on through your whole life. So you can believe like the 5-year-old Sharon, and like the 8-year-old who's now over 70, Jack Rhoda. You can believe like the man born blind. You can know just a few things for sure. Like all the saints, you can believe and receive new life right now as you worship Jesus. And as we worship, I think Jesus can give us one more word just to encourage us, to give us a good Christmas. See, Jesus knows that after about the age of 5, we believe the gospel, we know it, we don't always feel it. Jesus knows that we don't always understand what he is doing as work to bring glory to God to be revealed in our lives. I mean, a manger and a cross, that's what leads to resurrection and eternal life. And that story in our lives, not always immediately clear. In fact, we never comprehend it fully in this life. So on Christmas, we can have a mixture of feelings. Joy, praise, and we miss people, and we regret things. And so we can pray. And as a matter of fact, here too, again, Jesus' story comes and lifts up our story. Because when we pray, we find that Jesus is already praying for us. And that prayer is revealed in John 17. I'll just focus on verse 26, where John indicates this is how Jesus is praying all the time. And so here's how Jesus is praying for you and me and for all of us right now. Jesus prays, Father, I have made your name known. That means he's showed us what God is really like. He says, Father, I have made your name known, and I will make it known. There's always more. So Jesus will make our Father known to us so that the love he has for his son Jesus can be in us and so that I can be in them. Jesus prays and the Father hears and the Holy Spirit makes it true. Jesus is praying for us right now. Jesus is in us right now. Let's participate by joining in a prayer together. Lord Jesus, Father in heaven, Holy Spirit, we do adore you. Triune God, no distance or difference can separate us from you. Nothing in all creation can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus. Friend Jesus, for becoming flesh and dwelling among us centuries ago, for your embodiment that we experience as we gather together in worship, for your presence always, for your prayer and your love, and you yourself in us right now. Lord Jesus, loving Jesus, we praise you, we thank you, we adore you. We love you back, now and forever. In your name we pray. Amen.